Now I'm going to bring a message. I don't know. Don't worry. I know what time it is. Don't look at it. He said this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. Now this word that's spoken here in the book of Ephesians was said about the Ephesian Christians before they were saved. But he said there were three classes of people in the Word of God that had no hope. And he said these are without hope and without God in the world. I want to talk to you now about three people who stand absolutely without any hope. Before I tell you who they are, it might be well for us to explain what we mean by the word hope. We use the word hope in a very careless way. God always uses the greatest of care. Mere expectation is not hope. Mere expectation is not hope. Hope, according to the Bible, is the well-founded, well-grounded expectation for the future. Who is it today that has no well-founded, well-grounded expectation for the future? That has no absolute hope? I say it first. The man who doubts or denies the existence of God stands without any hope. And the man who denies the Bible as the Word of God stands without any hope. And the man who does not accept and confess the Christ that the Bible presents stands without any hope. May I go back to the first one? Little boy came in and said, Mama, how did God make you say it? He was reasoning from that old atheistic philosophy over which thousands have stumbled into hell, that everything that is had to have a beginning. Everything that is did have to have a beginning except God. And God was the beginning of beginnings. Somebody said, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. God never had any beginning, because by Him all things were made. And without Him, there was nothing made that was made. So what went on back there in the creation, only God knew, because only God was there. Little boy started the school one morning, and he captured him a ball-headed bumblebee and put it in a bottle and put a cork in it and stuck it in his hip pocket and went to school. And shooting around in the seat, the cork came out and business picked up in hand. And the little fellow did that and he did that. And the teacher said, sit down, Johnny. He said, there's something going on back there that you don't know about. What went on back there? Only God knows, because only God was there. So someone said to me, Dr. Aiken, do you believe that there is a God? I know. I am as sure that there is a God as I'm sure that I'm standing upon this platform today. You see, I'm not an educated man, and I can say why I'm sure. An educated man is not supposed to be sure of anything. He's not supposed to know anything. He's supposed to say, I believe or I think. You say, Dr. Aiken, do you believe there is a God? Yes. Why do you believe? I believe it first of all from the matter of creation. Look at all you see tonight. From whence did it come? Or today? From whence did it come? Well, there was a time when God was alone in the world. There was a time when there was no water, no air, no germs, no trees, no nothing, just God. Just God, by Him all things were made. There was me. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, then there is nothing there except God. No, how would there anything ever be? He said, well, I believe. Someone said, Dr. Lincoln, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe in the matter of wisdom. That's the reason I believe there is a God, from the standpoint of wisdom. What down before the wind roars down over the mountains in the fall, and the geese and the ducks all get together and get ready to go to Florida. Even the goose won't stay there and all that. But anyway, they get ready to go to Florida. An old General Gander takes the lead and he forms the company. And they fly down over Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and drop into the warm waters of the Gulf and stay until next spring and then come back again. Who told that goose to go south? Who told that goose to come north? He said, that's instinct. What did it be instinct, old goosey? Let me tell you this. There is no such thing as instinct. It's imparted wisdom. Who told that news? And you know what they'll do? They'll fly straight down like an astronaut coming in from outer space. And they never miss a feeding ground, and they never miss the landing spot. They drop exactly into the water at the proper place and wait until spring and then turn and come back again. Where'd that goose learn her navigating ability? Where did they get the navigating ability? Where did they get the idea of all these? They've never been down that way before. Out down in California, they have a little spider about the size of a shoebook. A fellow told me that little spider raised its young inside an empty clamshell or oyster shell. And that clamshell is an oyster shell is many, many times the weight of that little spider. And for him to lift that mean 6 to 12 inches from the ground before he deposits the egg, to do that is equal to the building of the pyramids of Egypt. How did he do it? He puts the thread on here, goes up and hooks it onto a limb, comes down and over here and puts it on another limb. And that thread is moist, and when it dries, it contracts. And he keeps putting them on, and they keep drying and contracting until he lifts it. Where'd that spider learn how to do that? He said, that's inherited instinct. Where'd they learn? He learned it from his mommy and papi's spider. Where they learn it, they learned it from there. Where they learn it, they learned it from there. Listen, old smarty, the first spider that did that thing then had to sit down and figure it out for himself, didn't he? Well, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, amen. That's the thing that I'm telling you tonight. Listen, he said, not only by imparted wisdom, but I believe it because. I believe it is the Word of God because of fulfilled prophecy. I hold in my hand a book, we call it a book of the library, 66 books from more than 40 different authors, written over a period of more than 1,400 years. And in this book, there is prophecy. That's right in history before it happened. Every religion of the world has its, every religion of the world has its Bible. But this is the only Bible of all the Bibles that has the word of prophecy in it. Why? Because the author of those human books had sense enough to know the day they put a prophecy in their book and it failed to come to pass, their book would be discredited. But this book, the daring boldness tells you what will happen upon this earth to men, to nations, and to individuals 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years in the future. Who could write a book like that? I can take the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ alone. Prove to any thinking man that is correct. Fine. Concerning Jesus Christ alone, he says he shall be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He didn't just say Bethlehem of Judea. There might have been more Bethlehems of Judea. But in Bethlehem of Judea, he said they would gamble upon his garments. They did. He said they would pluck out his beard. They did. He said he would make his death with the wicked. He did. Why, between two things, all the rich in his burial he did, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. And he said, on the third day, he will arise again. And thank God he did. He's out of the grave, and he's in the glory, and he's coming back again, because I talked to him today. Let me tell you something, my friend. Oh, he's not dead in a tomb somewhere. And that is the reason why I know that there is a God. The prophet is concerning Jesus, said he should be born of a virgin. Not a young woman, as the RSV says. Somebody said, what do you think of the new Bible? I think it's a bad book. That's what I said. He should be born of a young woman. No, he said he should be born of a virgin. You see, he could have been a virgin and not been a young woman, been a young woman, not been a virgin. But he said he should be born of it. A girl came home from college one day and said to me, Uncle, the professor at school said that Jesus couldn't have been born of a human mother without a human father, but that was a biological impossibility. I said, well, ring a ding. I said, you tell the little professor that I said that the first man that ever got in this world got there without either father or mother. And if the first one man got here without father or mother, if God wanted to send his son born of a human mother without a human father, God could and did do it. Amen. God, oh, but she said he came by the way of evolution. I said, then the first germ got here without father or mother. Life has never been generated from dead matter. Where did the first germ come from? So it came from another planet on a meteor. I said, don't you know a meteor is a blazing ball of fire? I said, honey, how would a germ? I said, you better get my house, automobile, run over you and kill me. Let me show you something. Oh, but she said that's scientific. That's the most unscientific thing I've ever heard. To be an evolution, all you've got to do is to stultify your brain and throw your reason out of gear. That's all. Let me tell you something, my friend. No, no. But she said, that's the scientific. No, that's not scientific at all. That's like the evolution. If you tell me that's a scientific evolution theory to creation, that way back down to somewhere, somehow, nobody knows when, how, where, or why, nothing turned around and nothing formed or something got in the water, and the water developed into a tadpole, and the tadpole swam to another bank one day and got stuck in the mud and died there, and wriggling around in the muddy corn boats and was yellow, and later they became legs, and after developed legs, he became a land animal, and climbing through the tree one day, a foot slipped into the fell. The jaw that broke off his tail, and he hit the ground and walked across the street and walked in the suit of clothes and went to teach him in the university and said, thank God I'm a man at last. I'm going to stand by the old book, amen. Oh, I said, listen, the first man that ever got in this world got there without either father or mother. Adam was created, and I believe that God created him as he said he did in the Garden of Eden. Little two-by-sport said to me the other day, how old was Adam? I said, old enough. I have more sense than you got. He named all the animals. Can you? He thought it wasn't good for him to be alone. So he created another person by the name of Eve. By the name of Eve. You see, Adam is the one who furnished the spare parts for the first loudspeaker we ever had. They created Eve, and the devil came and preached the first sermon. And he preached it to Eve, and he said, has God spoken? You know what he sought to do? He sought to get her to question the truth, question that there had been a revelation. She said, yes, God has spoken. Then he said, God didn't mean what he said, so he sought to get her to question the truthfulness of the revelation. And when she said, yes, he did, then God came and preached. Now, you listen to this. And he preached the first sermon to Satan. And he said, Mr. Devil, you took a woman without a man in it, and you brought the downfall of the race. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a woman without a man in it, and I'm going to redeem the race. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child of the Holy Ghost. Without a man in it. Did you ever see what was lost in the fall? The curse upon the earth, thorns and thistles from the earth going forth. The curse upon the serpent upon thy belly shalt thou go. The curse upon the man, thorns and thistles. And he said, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. The curse upon the woman. He said, in childbearing thy sorrow shall be multiplied, and thy husband shall reign over thee. Don't you fellas say amen? I'm trying to help you. I've got you. I got you told, well, him taking roots on the foot of the bed tonight with your head under your arm. Let me show you. Listen, I asked this atheist when you kids listen to this. Satan crammed that down the neck of some kids, but let him try the old man once. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. He said, Dr. Nathan, if he's going to do that, if he's going to take a woman without a man in it, yes, and bring the downfall of the race, for the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, my son, I believe the fulfilled prophecy of the creation, and all the rest of it proves that there is a God. Let me say another thing. The man who denies the Bible as the Word of God stands without any hope. You say, I'm not an atheist. You may not be. You may be a theist. Though you believe in God and yet deny the Bible as the Word of God, you still stand without any hope. Man, by his own natural rational reason, has never been able to get a conception of God that would give him a clear platform upon which he could stand and give a reason for the hope that's in him concerning Christ. And the only revelation you have of God is the revelation that God gives of himself. That's the only revelation you'll ever have of God, and of God, and that's in God's book that will give you a proper foundation which you can stand into the reason for the hope that is in you concerning Christ. Little two-by-four came up to me not long ago. He had a sheep, an Australian sheepdog haircut. He had a pair of pants on the side at the bottom. He'd have to squeeze his feet to get them on. And feeling his upper lip for the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. You know what he said to me? Do you believe the Bible contains the Word of God? I said, no, I believe it is the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. And the man who denies that stands absolutely without any hope. man who denies that stands absolutely without any hope. Listen, he said, do you believe all the miracles of the Bible? I said, I certainly do. He said, do you believe that story of the ark? I said, yes. And he said, how long was the ark? And I told him, how wide was it? And he said, how high was it? And I told him. Then he laughed and said, now you see how ridiculous. How would they have carried that across the Jordan? He didn't know his ark, did he? Amen? He said, do you believe the story of Jonah and the whale? No, I don't. I don't think that whale ever had any business swimming into that thing. He said God prepared a great fish, a monster of the deep, to swallow up Jonah. Jonah had a custom-built boat for that rash. He had a custom-built boat for that rash. He said, but the gastric juices would have digested Jonah. I said, is that so? I don't think Jonah's wallowing around anywhere with gastric juices. I think he's rambling around trying to find a place to feed him. And God tickled the old fish on the belly and spit him up. F-O-B, free on bank. That's the first place of free that we'll have on this. And when Jonah was vomited out on the dry land, and I see him now going down the sea to pull the seaweeds from behind his ears, and a fellow met him and said, had a fishing pole on his shoulder, and he said, go on down, Brother Jonah, we'll have fish for supper. He said, no, I don't want any more fish. Three people in the Bible got their appetite changed. He never cared for fish after the whale ran. Peter never cared for chicken after the rooster crowed. And the prodigal son never liked pork chops after he got out of the phone. Let me tell you something in a minute. Let me tell you this tonight. A man who denies the Bible, I believe the Bible, I can't explain it all now. And he said, but the Bible is so unscientific. That's a big word. He heard somebody say that. He hadn't thought that. He said, well, I think. I said, no, you don't think. You're not capable of thinking. You're telling me something that you heard or read or somebody told you. Well, God meant for you to get a parody to put feathers on you. I said, won't you use your own head? It would feather there. Of course, he didn't have a head, but the neck ran up and a stub head over there. Here's what I'm saying. I wish I had time this morning to tell you of the scientific accuracy and historical accuracy of the Word of God. I was speaking in the Tennessee Polytechnic Institute in Cookeville, Tennessee, one morning in the week. I was speaking on the scientific and historical accuracy of sacred scriptures. And when it was over, I had 14 doctors of philosophy on the platform. And when I finished, one of them got up in science and said, that lady, that's the greatest lesson in science I've ever had in my life. If you know the no science, read this book, amen. Gideon Larson, the man who doubts or denies, the man who does not accept the Christ that the Bible presents, stands without any hope. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me out of the no wise cast out. And that night, 62 years ago, the 12th day of last February, 8:45 Eastern Standard Time, in Wayne County, West Virginia, United States of America, out of the fork of the creek over on the left-hand side of a little old country church, I knelt at a little old pine mourner's bench. And he walked down the aisle and said, what can I do for you? And I said, do for me that I cannot do for myself. No great demonstration, but there came a deep settled peace into my soul that would stand the crush of woes. I've gone from the dark places. I've stood beside the grave that contained all that I ever had. And heard him say, I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, though I were dead, yet shall he live. Listen, Mr. Infidel, Mr. Skeptic, don't take that hope away from me. That hangs a rainbow of hope around the shimmering shoulders of the dying storm and gives me an assurance of gold that I've loved and lost. I'll see you again, amen.